Can you imagine a country, I mean, smaller than your local park, but it wields influence over, what, a billion people worldwide?
It's pretty amazing when you put it like that.
Yeah, that's the Vatican City State for you. It really makes you think about how power and leadership operate.
Especially during those critical moments, those transitions.
Exactly, when the person right at the top changes. So let's unpack this, shall we?
Let's do it.
We're taking a deep dive today into the role of American cardinals. It's often underestimated, wouldn't you say?
Definitely, particularly during that period when the papal seat is vacant to the Iota Vacante.
Right.
And what's truly compelling, I think, is seeing how figures from relatively young nation,
like the U.S.,
how they navigate and actually influence an institution with just centuries of tradition packed into it.
Yeah. And our source material for this dive,
it's an article from Christian Culture News. The title is The Role of American Cardinals in Leading the Vatican Between Papacies. And it gives us a really fascinating look at their historical footprint, their current responsibilities, and how they kind of shape the church's direction.
Absolutely. So think of this as getting a key, maybe, to understanding the inner workings of this huge global institution and seeing the surprisingly significant part that American leaders play, often behind the scenes. We're going to try and dissect a complex subject.
Or keep it clear.
Exactly. Offer you unique insights without getting totally bogged down in, you know, excessive detail.
Okay, so maybe starting with the basics.
Yep.
Let's lay the groundwork.
A good idea.
It's crucial to remember the Vatican City State, tiny as it is the absolute central nervous system for the Roman Catholic Church.
Right. It's where you find St. Peter's Basilica, the Apostolic Palace, all those key institutions.
And it operates under a very specific structure. It's essentially a monarchy, right? With the Pope at the head.
And the Pope, he's not just a spiritual figurehead, is he?
No, not at all. He's the ultimate authority on church teachings, doctrine.
And also the chief executive, in a way, overseeing this massive global organization.
Over a billion Catholics worldwide. But as you said, it's not a solo act.
No, there's a whole structure. Cardinals, bishops.
Various congregations, departments.
Yeah.
They all contribute to how the church functions day to day.
Okay, so let's talk about that period, the interregnum.
Right, the Sede Vacante, when there's no pope.
That's when the College of Cardinals really steps up.
It becomes incredibly critical. They take on this temporary governing role. Their leadership during that specific time is just essential for maintaining stability.
Guiding the faithful worldwide.
Exactly. You can think of them as the senior leadership team, always important advisors and administrators.
But especially crucial during that gap.
Precisely. They take on temporary governing duties then.
Okay, so let's zero in on these cardinals. What does their role actually involve, say, day to day?
Well, in essence, they are the Pope's most trusted advisors, yep. Top-level administrators.
Appointed directly by him.
Personally selected, yes. And they often oversee major dioceses, archdioceses, or key departments right there in the Vatican, the Curia.
So their appointments really reflect the Pope's own strategy.
His vision for the church, yeah. It's like forming a cabinet, in a sense.
A cabinet of, well, seasoned veterans. And a huge part of their job, obviously, is the conclave.
The conclave, yes. That famous, very private gathering to choose the next pope.
Must be intense.
It's described as a period of intense discernment, deliberation. The cardinals are carefully considering who has the qualities needed to lead.
Taking into account all the challenges the church is facing at that moment.
Right. And the trust, the shared understanding they've built up over time, becomes incredibly important in that decision-making process.
But their work doesn't just stop when a new pope is elected, does it?
Oh, not at all. Many cardinals continue to head up major Vatican departments, dicasteries they're called.
Covering things like?
Doctrine, liturgy, the church's global charity work.
Yeah.
Outreach. A whole range.
And they have diplomatic roles, too.
Yes, they act as key figures for the Holy See in its interactions with other nations, other faiths, international organizations. They're on the world stage.
It sounds like a very collaborative relationship, then, between the Pope and the cardinals, even though the Pope has the final say.
It generally is. Mutual respect is key. They offer invaluable advice, and they're vital in implementing policies.
And they bring that local perspective.
Exactly. Many have deep roots in local churches all over the world, so they bring those crucial on-the-ground insights back to the Vatican level.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting for our deep dive. This specific influence of American cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Our source suggests they've played a pretty notable role, especially during those leadership transitions.
Even within a system that historically was very European dominated.
Right. Let's look at some examples. Maybe start with Cardinal James Gibbons, appointed way back in 1886.
Gibbons is fascinating. He was a really strong advocate for religious freedom and social justice, particularly within the U.S. context.
So he helped establish the church's presence in America.
Very much so. He was instrumental in solidifying the Catholic presence and, crucially, fostering dialogue between the Vatican and a rapidly modernizing America.
So a key takeaway there is how American values, like advocating for freedoms, started influencing the church's engagement globally.
You could say that, yeah. Then fast forward a bit to Cardinal Francis Spellman. He served from 1939 to 1967.
A different era. I know he was very outspoken against communism.
Very. And deeply involved in social issues of his time. Spellman acted as a kind of bridge.
Between what?
Between the more traditional Vatican perspectives and the evolving secular culture in the United States.
Interesting.
His efforts to promote church teachings on social justice during a pretty turbulent period really raised the church's public visibility in America.
So that highlights how American engagement with, say, political ideologies or social movements can shape the church's public face.
It certainly can influence its outward messaging, yes. And then, much more recently, Cardinal Timothy Dolan.
Current Archbishop of New York, known for being quite approachable, good communicator.
That's right. And Dolan's significance, perhaps, lies in his ability to jump into contemporary discussions, faith, morality, social justice, in a very accessible way.
Bringing an American style to it.
You could say that. He brings it a distinctly American approach, blending his cultural background with the Vatican's universal mission, especially in discussions that might otherwise be heavily European-rooted.
So these examples, Gibbons, Spellman, Dolan, they really show how American perspectives add diversity to the mix.
Enriching the discussions and ultimately the decisions that affect the whole global church.
Okay, let's dive deeper into that specific in-between period, the sed vacante.
Right, this truly critical time. As we said, it's the period after a pope dies or resigns until the new one is elected.
And the main responsibility falls on?
The College of Cardinals. They have to maintain the church's course during that time.
That sounds like an absolutely immense responsibility. What are their primary duties exactly?
Well, the core task is ensuring continuity on all fronts. Overseeing the day-to-day administration of the Vatican, providing spiritual guidance and support to Catholics worldwide.
Addressing needs, maintaining morale.
Yes, through statements, homilies, and keeping the global community informed is also key, communicating what's happening.
And, of course, the huge task of actually organizing the conclave itself.
Exactly. That involves meticulous planning logistics, security for the Vatican, setting up all the protocols for the voting.
It's not just picking a leader. It's a profoundly solemn event.
It really is. It shapes the future direction of the church.
So it's clear American cardinals, working with their colleagues from around the world, play a vital role here.
Ensuring a seamless transition, safeguarding the church's mission, shepherding the faithful until a new pope is chosen. It's crucial.
Now, what about when things get complicated? What happens when actual crises arise during these vacancies?
That's when their leadership is really, really put to the test. Papal vacancies inherently create uncertainty.
Needs decisive leadership, then.
Absolutely. And our source gives a couple of good examples of this.
Okay, let's start with the transition between Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI. That was 2005.
Right. Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who later became Pope Benedict, was Dean of the College of Cardinals then.
So he had a key role.
A pivotal role. His communication strategy was particularly important. He addressed both the cardinals and the wider global audience through the media.
Why was that so crucial?
It helped manage speculation, which can run rampant during those times, and provided a strong, unifying message of continuity, stability.
Okay. And then the other big example, the very unique situation after Pope Benedict VI resigned in 2013.
Yes, that was somewhat unprecedented in modern times. And in that instance, American cardinals like Timothy Dolan and Donald Wuerl were quite prominent.
Stepped into leadership roles.
They did. They were instrumental in organizing discussions among the cardinals, really emphasizing the need for unity.
And keeping things running.
Exactly. Ensuring the Vatican's administrative functions continued without interruption. They also gave regular updates on pastoral care and administration.
Which must have been reassuring for people.
Hugely reassuring, especially during a time of, well, some ambiguity. Their clear, compassionate communication was vital for maintaining trust and stability.
So it seems like transparency, collaboration, and underlying it all, faith. Those are key strategies during uncertain times.
Precisely. And the American cardinals in these cases showed a notable ability to foster dialogue, both among cardinals and with the wider church.
Helping to navigate tensions and reinforce that shared purpose.
Yes, reinforcing that collective sense of mission during a transition.
Okay, moving beyond just keeping the ship steady, what about influencing actual church teachings and policies? Do they have a role there?
This is a really crucial dimension, yes. American cardinals play a significant role in shaping church doctrine and policy.
Especially during those interregnums.
That's often when these discussions become particularly focused. They actively participate in the theological debates that influence the church's overall direction.
And their American background matters here, too.
It does. Their unique experiences, the perspectives shaped by the American context, can bring a different, sometimes quite practical, lens to these complex discussions.
So the diversity within the U.S. itself contributes.
Absolutely. The diverse cultural and social landscape of the U.S. means they often bring valuable, nuanced perspectives on faith and its relevance to contemporary society.
Helping bridge tradition and modern concerns.
That's a good way to put it. They can help connect long-standing traditions with the evolving issues of the modern world.
Like issues around social justice, maybe climate change, human rights.
Exactly. American cardinals have often been quite involved in bringing these contemporary societal concerns into the framework of Catholic teaching.
Guiding the church's response.
Helping to ensure its doctrine remains relevant to the challenges people face today. And during those interregnums, as they discuss potential successors.
They're also thinking about the doctrinal direction.
Yes, they're collectively envisioning how the church should approach these important questions moving forward. It's about the person and the direction.
And this influence isn't just limited to those sede vacant periods, right? They participate in broader church meetings, too.
Oh, yes, definitely. In synods, various councils, American cardinals are active participants. They advocate for a range of theological perspectives.
Like trying to balance things.
Often, yes. Striving to uphold tradition while also engaging thoughtfully with the complexities of modern life. Their involvement helps the church navigate that ongoing evolution of doctrine.
And maintain unity, hopefully, amidst change.
That's the goal. Fostering unity is always a key aspect.
Okay, let's revisit some of those key American cardinals we mentioned, but focus specifically on their actions during critical times. Cardinal Dolan again, during the 2013 conclave.
Right. Dolan, as we said, has that approachable style. He apparently used his charisma, his outspokenness, to build connections.
Alliances among the voters.
Build alliances, foster dialogue around the really critical issues the church was facing then. His approach showed how a more, perhaps, direct and relational style can influence the dynamics.
And you mentioned he helped bridge divides.
He was seen as instrumental in mediating between different viewpoints, sometimes between American perspectives and those from other parts of the global church.
Contributing to the outcome.
Contributing, certainly, to an environment that led to the election of Pope Francis, who emphasizes social justice and reform. He helped bridge cultural and theological gaps.
Okay. Now, what about Cardinal William Keeler, especially thinking about his leadership during the terrible sexual abuse crisis?
Cardinal Keeler's role during that incredibly difficult time really demonstrates how American cardinals can be central in navigating major crises.
What was his approach?
He made transparency and accountability key priorities. He was a consistent advocate for implementing meaningful reforms within the church structure itself to address the crisis head on.
So bringing maybe an American emphasis on accountability into the church context.
You could argue that, yes. It showed how certain values often prioritized in the U.S. context could influence institutional responses within the church.
It sounds like he took a very proactive stance on a deeply painful issue.
He did. He initiated important, difficult discussions and actively pushed for new policies. Policies aimed at driving institutional change and fostering greater accountability.
While trying to address the pain people felt.
Exactly. Acknowledging the profound pain of the faithful while simultaneously navigating the complex ecclesiastical structures, it was vital in starting that process of rebuilding trust.
So these examples really drive home how American cardinals, with their unique styles and perspectives, haven't just managed transitions.
No, they've actively shaped Vatican responses to critical issues.
And influenced the church's overall direction. Okay, so looking ahead now, what might the future hold for the role of American cardinals?
Well, given how interconnected the world is becoming, their role is likely to become even more significant.
You think so?
I do. As our source suggests, American prelates often develop, you know, distinct approaches because of the specific U.S. context. Their leadership styles, their perspectives, they can be very influential.
In shaping future papacies, addressing modern challenges.
Yes. And we're already seeing a trend, aren't we? Growing prominence of American cardinals within the Vatican in recent papacies.
Definitely more visibility, more influence in recent years.
And they often bring, perhaps, a particular kind of pastoral sensitivity, a willingness to engage directly with complex contemporary issues.
How might that shift things?
Well, it could lead to shifts in how the church approaches global matters. Social justice, climate change, secularism, potentially leading to initiatives that resonate more broadly.
Showing the church's relevance.
Underscoring its ongoing relevance in the modern world. It suggests a potential for American perspectives to encourage a more outward-facing, perhaps more adaptable church.
There's also that significant expectation for reform from many Catholics worldwide.
A huge factor. American cardinals might increasingly be seen as key figures in advocating for greater transparency, accountability.
More inclusive practices.
Exactly. Aligning with the hopes and expectations of many lay Catholics. Their emphasis on collaboration, on open dialogue, could be really instrumental there.
Fostering trust, encouraging participation.
Yes. And their commitment, which we often see, to addressing both local and global issues that could inspire future popes.
How so?
To adopt a more comprehensive, maybe more diversified approach to leadership, integrating various cultural perspectives more fully.
For stronger global representation.
Stronger global representation, greater unity and diversity, ultimately leading perhaps to a more engaged and responsive church worldwide.
Okay, let's try and boil this all down. What's the core takeaway from our deep dive today?
I think the central insight is that American cardinals have played and clearly continue to play a really vital and evolving role in the leadership of the Catholic Church.
Especially during those key transition periods.
Especially then, yes. They bring unique perspectives shaped by their American experience, and these perspectives have had a tangible influence on the Church's direction and how it engages with the world.
That's the key. Their unique perspectives matter. So here's a final thought for you, the listener, to maybe mull over. Given this historical influence and the increasing prominence we've discussed, how might these distinctive American perspectives continue to shape the future path, the global engagement of the Catholic Church as it navigates the rest of the 21st century?
It's a really interesting question to ponder.
Definitely something to think about.
And perhaps it encourages all of us to consider the intricate dynamics of leadership in any large global institution.
And how diverse cultural viewpoints can interact with long-standing traditions.
To drive both continuity and sometimes necessary change.